Hey, JC, KB4CPA, good afternoon.
Hey, David, you're not headed back to play tennis, are you?
I am done with tennis for the day. I'm have picked up some pizza. I'm headed to the house.
Can't sign there yet?
Again.
Said, do you have your grandson there yet?
I thought he was coming today, but it's not until tomorrow. Being retired and all, I forgot he's in school, so he'll, yeah, they'll start up the road and meet us in Columbia after he gets out of school tomorrow.
We had a routine before all this started. We could tell what day of the week it is now. I can't. Unless I got a doctor's appointment or something that I do every week, I can't tell which dang day of the week it is.
Actually, gone over to the sports club, and thank goodness this only happened one time, but I was there the wrong day for a tennis. I was going to do a tennis clinic. And it was the wrong day, and boy, did I feel embarrassed. Here I was all dressed up and ready to go, had my tennis bag, and walk in, and they go, oh, yeah, well, that's tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, okay. So anyway, that puts the D in dumb and S in stupid.
And the, we don't have the requirements that we once had when you retired. You don't have to worry about going to work. You just have to worry about being at appointments on time. And I rely more and more on my iPhone to tell me what day to do what.
My wife and my phone usually keep me, on schedule. But for some reason, I don't know, I must know how to put this in the phone, or their schedule changed or something. I can't remember what happened. Something got me all discombobulated. Well, there's a good word. I'm not even sure if that's a word, but we use it anyway. The clinics are always on the same day at the same time, so I can put those in my phone, and they'll just, roll over every week and remind me every week. And so, heck, I've been playing so much tennis with, singles and, that I really don't have to go to the clinics. I mainly go just so I can hit, and most of the time I go, it's raining, and they have them in the bubble, so I can get some tennis in on a rainy day.
I think I've ever played inside other than racquetball. I don't remember having an indoor facility when I was playing. That's been too many years ago. It's been so many years ago. I don't know if we had many at all then. But that sounds like it'd be a lot of fun, though. At least be out of weather if you need to be, especially for maybe not so much for playing, but just practicing and hitting balls and that sort of thing.
Very nice, and it's comfortable. If when it's freezing cold, they'll have them in there, and then of course when it's raining, and it's two hard courts side by side, and then you can pull a net between the two courts if they're using both of them, and so anyway, they used to have some at the pavilion in me more, but I never did really like them because the surface was faster. The ball actually came off the surface faster, and it just messed up my game, messed up my time, and I couldn't get used to swinging my racket faster. Anticipating the ball, it's kind of hard to explain, but you would think you could adapt to it. And I did to some extent, I guess, but it just when it hits that floor, it just comes scooting right at you, and in a hurry, a lot quicker than just regular asphalt.
I know some courts do play differently. I know that some of your courts I've seen, they look like they play, they look like they don't play as fast as the old ones did. They resurfaced one down below us in a subdivision. They've got a really nice, just one court, but it's set up for tennis and for pickleball too. And they've got a little covered area down there this little portable grill thing down there, so you can grill out if you want to. And it's, of course, it's just gated. They don't, they got it where they can get in and lock it to keep people from down there. But there's usually somebody playing down there just about any decent day, either playing pickleball or tennis, or, somebody brought a machine. I saw somebody down there with a machine, ball machine, not long ago, hitting balls. It's a really nice, just have one court down there. It's a pretty rich subdivision, but I don't think they have a pool, but they just have them anywhere else. I think everybody's got their own pools in that one, but it's a really nice little facility for that sort of thing. They got some parking down there, so you can pull in and park. It just looks like it'd be cool to have one down there. It's lighted, too, I think.
Okay, you're in a nice subdivision when everybody has their own pool. They don't have a community pool. you're in some money then, I'll tell you. Well, I'm in the garage, so I'm going to jump out of here and jump into this pizza while it's hot. But you take care, Jerry, and I'll talk to you later. Say 73s for now, KB4, CBA, clear after yours.
That pizza, grab a bite for me. I hadn't had one in about a week. It's time for me to have another slice or two. Have a good afternoon, David. 73, N40JC.
Ned, you got a call sign? No joy. You're just too weak into the repeater. Can't make out anything. Need more power or more audio or something because you're just too weak. This is N0TR. Clear on your final.
NH mobile monitoring.
RCL mobile.
Tokyo 4NH.
How we doing, sir?
My name is Fred. I'm currently mobile in the Pelzer area. How are you today?
Good. My name's Russell, and I am mobile over in the Inman area right now.
Inman, a good little while. How's it like over there? Still the same?
I stay out of the town of Inman. I got a little, project I'm working on over here close to Holly Springs Fire Department. They got an Inman address, so I'm just right at the edge of Inman. I don't go over to town, so I really don't know what's over.
Last time I was up there, about a couple months ago, I went up there to see a good place of mine, but I was going to go up there yesterday. That didn't happen, though. How am I coming in through here? Am I coming in real good? I'm in a weird area of Pelzer.
Coming through a low spot over here where a lot of times I get a little bit of static. On our initial contact, you were full quiet in the repeater. Give me just a few minutes to get on down the road here to a clearer area, and we'll try it again.
Well,
half and half static and half voice, but very copyable. And I can't stay. I just was walking by the radio here and thought I'd give you a signal report. This is in 0TR, Tom.
Thanks for the signal report, Tom. How are you doing today?
Okay. I'm just getting ready to head outside, unfortunately, and take a look at the chickens. And I'm not anxious for that.
I spent a little outside to talk to you last time, Tom. Just figured I'd ask how you're doing. I'll let you go have fun, 7-3, Tom. KO4NH, still monitoring.
Fred from Pelzer. Well, nice to hear you. And I'll let Russell get back to you there in 73. It's in 0TR.
K2RCL. Hey, Fred. Yeah, I'm back up on top of the hill now. And you were coming in pretty good on that last transmission.
Appreciate it. Looks like NPR is starting to fight me a little bit on the B channel. I was just wondering, I got a weird spot in Pelzer where my signal is either there or not. It just purely depends upon the day, I guess.
You're full quiet in here now, too.
Awesome, Tom. I'm glad you're hearing the same I am. I was down in a hole over there crossing over the little bridge on the creek. I usually get pretty staticky down in there when we first made contact, but he's coming into me pretty good. I'm almost over on Jordan Road now.
You guys have it in 0TR.
I'm Russell. Just now, I just figured out, like I said, it's a weird spot in Pelzer that I'm either in the repeater or I'm not. Just figured I'd ask because I'm trying a different power output on my radio.
A mobile rig, I believe, is what you said. What kind of wattage are you doing on your mobile right now?
20 watts. I'm currently about to merge on to 85. Right where I was calling, or through my call sent out the first time, was a weird area I've had a hard time hitting the repeater from.
You'll have to overlook me. I'm not as familiar with that area and what kind of line of sight you'd have for the repeater up on Caesar's Head. But if there's a big obstacle between you and it, that may be what it is, and you're coming on either side of it, getting a better shot on it.
That's what I was thinking. I saw a lot of trees in that area where I was. It's just, that's why I said I figured it's either a hit or miss, whether or not I hit it. Last time I was trying to hit the repeater, I was pushing it. I think I was pushing 10 watts before I fixed the thing with my radio. So I can actually push the 450 now.
Roger that. Are you using a mag mount antenna or NMO or what type of antenna are you doing?
Trunk mount with a Cummins antenna that's good for 440 and 2 meters.
Got you. I've got a trim dual band. I actually put an NMO mount in the center of the roof on the little Kia Soul that we've got. And give it a good ground plane that way. Things will be doing pretty good. Picks up good, gets out good.
Good where I am right now. I'm on the south area. I'm passing by mile 46 and 85 right now. Just you're coming in pretty good on my end.
I'm up on Jordan Road, just crossed over into Greenville County. I think I've got my radio set. Yeah, it looks like I'm set on mid-power, 11 watts. Hitting out for the repeater. This little radio here only maxed out about 25.
Running over there.
Hey, Anytone AT778UV. It's their dual band version of the mobile. They've got a new one out now, the 578, that does digital DMR and it'll do 50 watts. But it definitely costs a bit more. But I've got three of these little mobile radios that I've picked up over the time, and I got one here in the car, one in the RV, and I've got one inside the house that I use as a base.
Cool, I'm running a Yaesu FT, I think it's Yaesu FT30DR, I believe. It's a pretty good radio. I'm actually running APRS in the background while we're talking.
I've got a, I got an 878 Anytone handheld that does digital and DMR, and I built a Wi-Fi hotspot for it. Played around with DMR a little bit. I'm still getting into that, and I'm still trying to figure out the APRS on it to get it set up to where it'll actually work. I thought I had it programmed the other day, but nothing was showing up on the map, so I guess I done something wrong. I'm gonna, whenever I have some downtime, I'm gonna try to get back on it again and see what I can figure out.
Yeah, Russell, my radio actually came with a manual that told me how to do all that, but something I've noticed around this area especially is that the APRS, it won't always, I'm sorry, some of the stations that are running APRS and kind of repeats it back to the net, it doesn't always pick it up. It's sometimes it's a hit or miss. It purely depends upon the time, I guess, but that's one thing I've noticed while running APRS on my radio.
It might have been that I was trying it at a bad time then. That's definitely a possibility. I think I programmed in 149.3900 for the frequency is what I used when I set it up. But I'm still not 100% sure I've got the stuff right.
Russell, APRS broadcast right middle of you transmit for some reason. Can you come back with the frequency number?
I think I used 149.3900, but I can't remember for sure. I don't have the radio with me right now.
It might be the issue right there. I'm running on 144.39 right now.
144.39, that's probably what I need to take a look at when I get to the house and see which frequency I actually punched in for it. I may have it on the wrong frequency, and that's why it's not working.
Possible. All I know is that, at least my manual, I don't know what it says about yours, but the manual I had, it said 144.390 is common. It purely depends upon the area, I guess. That's what it says. It says common ones. That's what I said. It's running somehow.
That I'm guessing, and I'm still learning, so you'll have to overlook the question, but that's pretty much the universal frequency all across the U.S. for APRS, is it not?
I'm entirely sure, Russell. Honestly, I don't really dove around with the 2 meter and 440 too much. I'm more or less with 10 meter, and I'm trying to find a CW program so I can mess with the CW on the higher bands while I got the condition lines before I upgrade to general.
Comment. Jerry, if it is, come on, jump on in here.
N40JC. Yeah, 144.390 is a North American APRS frequency. They have a different one in Europe because it's that frequency has got something to do with satellite bands over there. But that's the frequency. And the you just need to have your path set correctly and have it beaconing and that sort of thing. It's, sometimes if you're in the Granville area, it's real easy to get digipeated through the GSP high gate. But when you get further away, it gets more difficult. But I can see them on my, you know, you can see yourself on APRS.fi. Yeah, you'll see your ID and whether or not you get digipeated. If you're not getting digipeated, it's not going to show up there.
That I figure if anybody was going to know, you would be the man to know. We're a walking book of knowledge there. Appreciate it.
You really have to have a little bit more power, be a little closer to the Granville area in the other digipeater that's pretty active is the one on Caesar's Head. It's pretty easy to get digipeated through it. He's a lot of times I pick up guys traveling along 85 direct to me, and sometimes I'll send them a message, and sometimes they'll reply. Most time they're just beaconing out, not paying attention to who's sending them anything back.
Gotcha, Jerry. So basically, if you program the frequency in, regardless of where you're at, if there's a digipeater close by, it's on the same frequency since that's the North American frequency. It's just a matter of making sure that all the other settings are correct.
Your baud rate is 1200 and your path is, I think the path is what they call the new paradigm. It says new and then it's got Y-1, Y-2 on it. If you get it any different than that, sometimes you'll get repeated all over the country and you don't want to tie up everybody else's eye gates with that. But if you use the one that's recommended and just have it beeping automatically about it, if you're traveling, you can do it every 5 minutes or every 2 minutes or whatever. But and it'll, you know, that way, if you, for instance, if you're beeping and that and you get ditch beat, I can follow your path wherever you're going. Until you sit, and whenever you're there still and you're still baking, it'll show up. You just don't need, probably don't need to bake it very often if you're not mobile. If you're mobile, it works that way. And also, like I said, I can get people direct. Sometimes somebody coming down, I'm only about a mile from 85, and somebody drives through here and bakes that, I can get them direct just as well as through an eye gate.
Now, maybe I did something wrong, but can you not build like a APRS beacon that transmits that without a radio, or am I looking at something wrong?
Well, really, a lot of these people just have beacons that are not really, I mean, it's like a transmitter. It's not a radio, but it's actually a transmitter. And once they can do that through the internet, because it is still internet-based in some cases, W4DJW has got a lot more information on APRS than I do, because he's done a lot of things. They make several things. They make these small transmitters that go up in balloons, but all they do is just, all it does, Russell, just digipete the position. It doesn't have access where you can send a message or, you know, send somebody you can send somebody a text message to their phone through APRS as well. It's a little more involved than some people will deal with. It's a little feature you can use if you need it to. But it all depends on the eye gate. Whoever's got that eye gate, digipeater is the one that, I think, is the one that controls that. There's a lot of fun. I mean, if I'm over in Malden, in my daughter's house over there, when I'm keeping the grandkids, I'll get something, and it just stays busy all the time over there. But now here, I'll get one about every 10 or 15 minutes, something like that.
Is our other station still in here? Jump on back in here.
I'm still here. I'm just listening to y'all's conversation. Like I was trying to say before, I'm actually still kind of new to the ham radio side, so I'm just listening. I'm actually learning a couple things.
That I can tell you, there's a lot of information on this repeater here. Between Jerry and Tom and Steve and Dave and all of them, I mean, there's just a wealth of knowledge out there, and I'm sure I missed somebody's name along the way. But most of the time, if you have a question, you can get on here and ask it. Somebody's going to know, and they're always willing to help.
What I've been doing here recently, I've just been doping APRS. I asked Dave about it one night on one of the nets, just trying to figure out, because I was actually in the process of getting my radio that I have now. Knew I had APRS, I just never really knew exactly what it was. Dave explained it to me in a way I could understand. But, I didn't know you could do all the text messaging and all that through APRS. I know I got a message from Dave one time, but I couldn't figure out how to reply to my radio.
You got
Azu 30DR, if I remember correctly.
You find this. That touch screen is a little sensitive to do it, but I've used 3DR to work through APRS satellites and other stuff too, and there's a guy here, he lives about a subdivision up from me, he's got one, and I'll pick up his APRS packets every once in a while when he's on there. But that's a good little radio. It's solid, and I'm quite as sensitive as the Kenwoods are, but they work really well. But it's easy to read, that's for sure. But the messaging part of those is you can have some pre pre-programmed messages that you can send out so you don't have to sit there and try to type something in. I'm sure you've already looked at that. And Russell, by the way, Russell, I was going to ask you, what kind of APRS rig are you running?
RCL Friday. Jerry, I've got an Anytone 878, that little digital DMR handheld radio that does APRS.
I told about one of those the other day. Those things they've got a lot of features that the earlier radios don't have. But, yeah, it's, I tell you, APRS is a lot of fun. It's been around a long time. You know, it was basically it's kind of carried from the old packet days when people used to send packets. It's just another form of that, but it sends out positions and you can send messages and that sort of thing as well. But it's just a cool thing. It's like, you know, we used one in a plane once when we flew to Dayton back in the mid-90s, and they would follow us along the ground in the plane, and it was just sending out the APRS packets then. But I enjoy it. I mean, it's, a lot of these stations are just like pigeon beacons. They don't have any. There's not a live op there. And a lot of times, if you're traveling, you know, if you put part of your packet, your APRS message, your status messages, if you put live op down, like I do on mine when I'm at the radio, you'll find that people will send stuff back to you, you know, send messages to you, and you can send messages back to them as well. But so many of these are just weather stations and that sort of thing, or just, you know, unattended, I call them unattended stations. There's so many of those out there, it kind of clutters up really what it's designed for.
Just a quick question. Is there a way to get a radio that doesn't have APRS to run APRS like you would with like ST8 or ST4?
Yep. Hate to do it, but I have detonated here at the house, so I'm going to have to hop in here and get a shower right quick. I will say 73. It was a pleasure talking with you, and Jerry, appreciate the information. Thank you very much. As always, you're a big help. And, gentlemen, y'all have a wonderful afternoon, and K2RCL, I'll be clear on y'all's final.
Okay, Russell, have a good afternoon. Stay cool, man.
So, 73, you as well. The other gentleman, I didn't catch your name. I apologize for that, but like I asked, is there a way to run APRS like you would ST8 or ST4 on a non-APRS radio?
So the name is Jerry, by the way, and the call is N4DJC. There is a little attachment type device that you can attach to the back of any 2-meter handheld. I think it's called MobileLink TNC is what it is. It's a small device about the size of a battery pack. And you can hook that up to like just a basic 2-meter handheld or a 2-meter 2-meter mobile rig, I believe, and working that way. Most of the other people use what's called it's just a TNC, and there are people that still build those, and people build their own as well. But if you want one for a mobile rig, there are several options to go there where you can add it to it. There's just a basic mobile rig that runs straight like 25 watts, or if you've got a basic 2-meter HT, that's what most people use them for. Is they'll take a $150 or $100 2-meter HT and put that MobileLink TNC on it and use it as that. But I think those things may be they're probably $150, maybe more than that. There's an article about it in either this month or last month's QST about how that thing works. But they've been around a while, and you could do that if you wanted to do it or add it to it. But years ago, none of the radios had TNCs built into them. And Cantronics was the main manufacturer, made TNCs in those days, and they still make them. But they're several hundred dollars, though, now, I think.
That makes sense, honestly. I didn't know about the older styles. No, I was just wondering. I got a Yaesu ST991A at home. I was wanting to get like a program or something to hook up to it and run like, at least temporarily, run APRS, see what happens. I normally run ST4 on 10 meter on during the day whenever I'm actually home and off work.
If you got it hooked, if you got it where you can hook it up to a regular to a PC, then you got there are programs that'll do that. Just they're a little more involved than I deal with because I'm not a Windows guy. But yeah, there are programs out there we can utilize it if you're already set up for other digital modes to set up on your 2 meter on a 2 meter band to do that then. And I don't remember the names of them because I don't, you know, the radios I use for APRS, so, you know, have the TNCs built in. It just makes it a little more compact. But if you got something at home you want to use, yeah, you could certainly do that. There are multiple ways to do it through software. And like I said, I don't know about hooking the Yaesu specifically up to it, but a lot of radios you can certainly do that.
I was mainly curious because I wanted to actually kind of get an APRS run on that radio as well, at least maybe passively through Raspberry Pi or something. I don't know. I just kind of played with the idea a little bit. I might have to ask some other guys about it too. Because I remember you just said you don't know much about Windows, but I don't know. I mainly mess with STA FT4 with that radio anyway, so I'm not sure if I'll mess with APRS on that radio.
Stuff is mostly software based anyway, so since you've got, you know, the basic things just have something to transmit, and there are some that have built in transmitters that they, you know, like the ones I was telling you about, they call a tiny tin, so they put in these balloons, but that's just a few milliwatts, it's not, didn't have much of a transmit power. But yeah, I'm pretty sure you can do that. There's some type of, I can't remember whether Direwolf or some of the other programs can handle that, but WDJW can tell you a lot more of that if you catch him on the net one evening or catch him on a direction direction along the right path of that. But a lot of people do that. A lot of people, you know, there's just not that many. I mean, the APRS ready radios, you only got some of the Yaesus and some of the Kenwoods, a couple of Kenwoods, and that's really it. The rest of them, like ICOM, you know, ICOM uses, well, they're D-Star, they use what's called a DPRS, and it's not the same thing at all. It's something they use primarily for the D-Star network, and in Japan they use it too. It's the same, similar type of position reporting system, but it's not universal in the U.S. like the APRS system is.
I had no idea about that. I'm kind of glad I didn't buy the ICOM that I was thinking about buying then. I'm kind of glad I got this Yaesu for you then, but I appreciate it, Gary, I really do.
Contact.
Yep.
4WDS, I'm just trying to see if anybody can pick up my signal.
And it's Fred Mulwa and now Greer. Yeah, you're coming in for the beater pretty good, not full quieting, but you're at least, I can hear you and everything now. You're coming in pretty clear as far as I can tell.
Strong 8-watt HT. Just like I said, I'm an old Lake Hartwell. Just want to try something new. TG4WDS.
Gary, you still there?
This is Jerry. Juliet Echo Romeo Yankee. Yeah, I'm still here.
But, I'm terrible with names in the beginning. I'm sorry about that, Jerry. No, I appreciate the information. I'm actually near my destination now. I need to go ahead and take off. But thank you for all the information about that. I'll definitely ask Dave somehow or another about the program used for APRS. 7-3 from me, KO4NH, clear after your final.
We hope I have some help to you on the APRS. It's interesting. It's an interesting mode. It's not really a digital mode, it's still an analog mode, but it's a lot of fun, though. It's just another facet of radio. And I hope you have a great afternoon. Good talking with you. And good luck working on the APRS on the getting it set up on your 991. Have a good afternoon. 73, N4DJC, clear.